Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Lap Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning...
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
Joining me, as always, the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
I think she's blown her top.
And the incredible Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Please let me in.
Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and making sure that you all can see and hear us all across the world. This is a show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. ask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us a question about anything. And be totally anonymous. In return, we are brutally honest. We remove all the filters. Whenever you talk to someone who comes to you and you're thinking one thing, you filter that because you need to say it to them in a certain way. Well, this is a filter-free zone. There's no filters, okay? We just respond to you, bah! And we don't know who you are. So that's how the show works. This is how the game is played, if you will. So send us your emails about whatever. We'll tell you what we think. And don't get all emotionally crazy if you don't think we're sensitive enough. More than likely, we are not going to be sensitive enough. You know, I know you're all ready to do an article
ahead,
and stuff
you
like that. You know,
it's your show.
It's my show.
You can
show.
Do
whatever
you want.
That's right. It's all about me. I love me.
You make the call.
How are you doing over there, Ross?
I'm good.
Ross is so quiet.
He's working.
I'm working.
Okay. He's working on other things.
Instead of talking and ranting, I'm working.
On other things. Supposed to be working on the show now. We're
Trust
here.
Me, if I don't work on this stuff, this man does not have events to speak at.
This is true.
Ross handles my events. And we got a
and
bunch
your
of
life.
No. And my life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And he's juggling all that stuff. For me, if we ever come to a city in you, come to, near you or to your church or whatever, you will be dealing with Roscoe. He's the man who puts my life together on their own. So he's juggling that while we're, because he's got answers.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I don't care. I'm just telling people what you're doing.
Just put the camera on me and all you need to do is just see me and that will be enough.
See me, feel me.
You don't need to hear me. Just see
me. You know that
me.
Who song? Come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, email from yesterday's program, a guy saying, you know, you warn about particular situations, but what's the solution?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything that I get criticized, well, I get lots of things criticized about me, but one of the things that criticize me, and there's some fairness to it, is I spend more time with the warnings and less on the solutions. And people say, well, dude, you need to spend more time on solutions. People need solutions. I said, well, here's the problem. There's patches.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not really the kind of solutions people want. Hence the warning. I spend more time warning people not to go to hell than, gee, how do you get an air conditioner when you're in hell?
Do you think that's the criticism you get because you're not giving solutions and they think that there should be solutions?
Yes.
Well, that's not your fault that there's not solutions.
But that's what they want. You know, well, okay, so you tell us we suck. Well, now what do we do? Well, okay.
They're assuming there's solutions and fixes to these things.
Well, there are.
Well, there are.
There are to some degree.
Right.
And we can talk about that, but it's not what they want. What people want is everything to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And change. So it's like as if it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in Christ, that happens. We have our sins, though they be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. When you are redeemed, it's as if it never happened in terms of standing before God.
But
people don't understand there are consequences to the way you live life. God can forgive you, but you're still going to have problems. Let's say Timothy Robert Ray goes crazy and he murders Diane, which is highly likely at any given time. Okay.
It would be more like Ross would be the one throttling me.
Or Ross loses it and he reaches across
Ross
the table.
Ross would be the one that would be likely
here.
To kill me.
I don't have time to kill you.
So Ross reaches across the table and he strangles you to death, okay, during a commercial break,
mm-hmm.
which could happen at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he can pray and ask God to forgive him.
Yep.
God will forgive him.
Yep.
He can ask us to forgive him. And we can't forgive him.
There would be no us. It would only be you because she's dead.
Well, Timothy's here.
Okay.
You know. And, of course, her husband, who you just killed.
My family, my children.
Your children.
You could plead for forgiveness.
They can all forgive you. But chances are you're going to jail, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It doesn't bring me back.
Yeah. And she's, which is one of the positive parts.
Agreed. Agreed.
You guys, your world would be so incomplete without me, and you know that.
The good news is she won't come back. So anyway, but you will go to jail. There are consequences, and people don't like. And what I think people's version of Christianity that they're trying so desperately for is that it will be as if it never happened.
The consequence-free life.
Consequence-free life. It just doesn't work that way. I don't think it was ever intended to work that way. I mean, now some people might have testimonies or to them it's as if it never happened. Okay. But certainly you got to assume that's the exception. I mean, I was reading a story about this guy who clinically had died. He was dead for like half an hour, mm-hmm. 90 minutes, and came back to life. Okay. That can happen.
Yeah.
But most people, it doesn't happen.
No.
Most people, when you're dead, you're pretty much dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pop back to life and get on a talk show talking about, mm-hmm. gee, I was dead for 90 minutes
mm-hmm.
and talking about heaven.
Yeah.
All right. So, and as I said on yesterday's show, I think the problem is as Christians, because we believe in healing and restoration and this wonderful concept of it's as if it never happened, that we tend to live very casually and we don't take life seriously. Our young people are taught, a lot of young people in church really do have the sense that, okay, I shouldn't go out there and fornicate and get drunk and steal and lie and do all, but you know, I can just ask God to forgive me, and it'll be as if it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before God, first of all, there's theological debate as there's parts of the Bible that in the New Testament that hint at if you do it intentionally thinking you're just going to get forgiven, you won't get forgiven.
Right.
But let's not even cross that. Let's just assume everybody gets forgiven no matter how they approach this thing. But there are consequences, and they live casually because they think Jesus will just fix everything. They'll heal everything. It would be like letting your kid play on the roof of the house and not concerned that he could fall and break his bones because you're thinking, well, if he does, we'll just pray for him and God will heal him.
Mm-hmm.
Can God heal him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you show scriptures in the Bible that would point to that God would heal him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, then let him play up there. No.
Right.
Okay.
You don't
do it that way, and there's no guarantee he's going to get healed.
No.
You know, he might have all kinds of issues and problems. I mean, that's why you don't do it. Let's face it. If every time your kid got hurt, you had the faith to just lay hands on him and he'd be back just as if it never happened,
mm-hmm.
would you as a parent really care about what he does?
No, you'd let him do whatever. They could touch the stove, they could play in the street, they could climb trees.
You can slam your hand in the door and see what happens that way. You can
you could not worry about what toddlers are going around eating or sticking their fingers in plugs.
You could drink the Drano, you know. Oh, just come here. I'm on. Okay, just come. Let's pray.
Yeah, you wouldn't worry
about
it.
Father, heal him and boom. I'm telling you, that's the way at some point in some level in a lot of people's heads in faith, that's the way they live. They think Jesus is just going to fix everything. So they live casually. They think no matter what they do, it will be as if it never happened. And this is in no greater area than the area of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because people think, well, you know, if I'm not happy with this guy, I'll just divorce him and I'll get someone and Jesus will make it as if it never happened. And there's people, I'm telling people who would get very angry at me
yes.
hearing this. Well, it can be, it's just as it never happened. Okay, well, it can be just like if you drank Drano, right, that we could pray for you and eat it. And I'm telling you, if people had that kind of faith, they would let their kids do anything, and they'd be very terrible parents because supposedly they have faith, mm-hmm, to make up for it. I'm just telling you, no one would do that. No one would let their kids drink Drano. No one would let their kids stick their hand in the furnace or play in the furnace waiting for it to turn on. No, yes, you know, no one, you wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's consequences, okay? And people get a sense, you know, not everybody, every time you need a miracle, do you get one? That's the reality of it.
That's right.
Okay? But when it comes to marriage and family, people think it just doesn't matter. And we've got lots of people who get married and they're casual about it. We have lots of people who are divorced right now listening to the show, single men and women, who are upset even hearing this, mm-hmm, because they think that they can marry someone else and it will be just as if it never happened. It will be. And I'm telling you.
There's some remarried people second time, third time that say, oh, I'm so glad. This is so much better. I have a great life now. I found a godly wife. And you hear those stories and you hear people repeat that all the time.
Yeah, but number one, we don't know what they're talking about, what's going on in their head. We don't know what the situation is. And is it really that much better for them? I don't know.
And are you taking into your kids into account? How much better is it for them? And I hear this all the time. Oh, it's so much better for my kids. I think a lot of parents, divorced, remarried, think it's better for their kids. I don't think that it really is. I think that they fool themselves a lot when they say that.
But let's say those testimonials are all true, all of them.
Okay.
We have people who have testimonies that their arms were broken and God healed them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had cancer and God touched them and they never had to take chemo and they were healed and they're still alive. I mean, my point is, that's very much the exception.
Yeah.
It's not the rule. And you wouldn't just let your kid drink Drano because somebody did and they had this, mm-hmm, testimony. You know, he was dead and he was in heaven for 90 minutes and now he has he's got a book talking about how he saw Jesus and everything. Okay, but you still wouldn't let your kid drink.
No, you wouldn't.
So let's say we do have those testimonies out there where people say, yes, I was in a previous marriage and now this is the best thing that ever happened. Okay, but see, that's why I don't even like those tests. At some point,
I know.
You know, back in the—
It's undermining.
Some of you guys will remember this that are, you know, been in the church for a long time. Back in the 80s, testimonies were a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger of a testimony you had of what a hellion you were and how Jesus saved you, we'd have guys, we'd dance them up against, up on the platform.
Yep.
You know, you almost never hear that anymore. Very rarely do you hear the testimonies of guys who were just living in hell and did us. I was a this and a that. You know, you got a few exceptions. You know, Annie Lobear, you know, sharing her story, how she was a prostitute and Jesus came. You know, and I like that, and it's great, but even that makes me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get a very strong stream of that from my church. I don't want to hear young people hearing that.
Right.
Back in the 80s, everybody was hearing that
because
constantly.
Because then it's like, it doesn't matter what you've done.
Well, it's like, well, I can be a prostitute.
Good
in
like
fact,
hell and
no, here's the other thing. If young girls are watching, we're having the Annies come across the stage, and everybody's just oohing and awing over them then, and at some point, a little girl thinks, you know, I should be a prostitute.
Because that's what gives
Because then I'll
testimony.
Come back to Jesus and it'll give me a testimony.
Yeah.
I know guys who have literally gone out and done drugs and stuff like that because they heard these great testimonies. So anyway, as a result, very few churches do that anymore. Very rarely do you have, we just don't make the big deal out of that anymore because
Which
we learned the hard way. Okay? And do those guys have real testimonies?
Yes.
Yeah. But you don't say that to everybody.
No.
So we might have to. Some people listen to the show, well, man, this is my 14th marriage, and it's the best thing, and it's been like it never happened. And God, okay, you're the exception.
Mm-hmm.
It's still.
It's not the rule.
It's not the rule for most people. And I got to tell you, without the consequences, everything would be a disaster. And I said this to you guys off the air, and I'm saying it to everybody now on the air. Some people might be shocked by this. But just think about it a little bit. If I knew that I could dump my wife, and everybody has those days
you
where you're not
days,
getting along and
moments.
You're frustrating and stuff, and or even my wife think, you know, boy, if I knew that I could just dump her and that my ministry would stay exactly the same, and I'd have the same level of respect of people all over the world, and that when I marry the next one, there'd be no consequences or tied over, and it wouldn't hurt my kids in any way, shape, or form. If that really were true, and it's not. But I thought, oh my gosh, I'd probably do it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would have done it by now. I'd probably be my fourth wife by now.
Most people would.
If you knew that no matter what you did, it would be as if it never happened, how casually and foolishly I would live my life.
Yep.
The fact that there are consequences is the very thing that should hold us back and say, you know, look, it's not the same. It won't be as if it never happened. It will have devastating impact and consequences to my children. It'll have a horrible impact to my ministry. Mm-hmm. I would lose my ministry. And who would listen to me anymore?
You know, I'm
on my sixth wife, and you guys are going to buy tickets to a Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage?
No credibility.
Nobody's going to listen to me.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, there's huge consequences for a guy like me. Massive. And it just causes you to stop and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a heavy price to pay. And just of all my grandchildren, they would never look at me the same. You know, I mean, they probably would initially won't even know what happened, but when they become teenagers and realize that grandpa was out there screwing 15 women on the side. And, oh, my gosh. I mean, the consequences of this stuff. And I think people want to hear more about how to make it as if it never happened. Yeah. And I'm telling you, if I had a formula for how to do life as if it never happened, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell any of you.
Right.
I wouldn't do it.
Nope.
There's no way. First of all, I don't think there is. Despite the testimonies of the great, you know, I wouldn't do it because all you would do is you would green light people. If I could tell the people listening to me right now that you're so mad at your husband right now or your wife, you know, used to have a great body, but now it's not a great body and there's other girls younger than you who have great bodies. And if I could tell you, no, it's okay, you can do it, and it will be the same. It will make no difference. Your kids, and people are taught this.
They hear that
they can do it and so your kids will be fine and it won't matter and you'll have the same connection. It will be just like as if you never married that other person, and just like God, you're a virgin for the very first time marrying, and that's how
you'll have the same sex life, the same sexual connection. It will be better. It's not.
And that's what people are taught, and that's what they think, and that's what the world is telling them, and that's why they keep getting in the same toilet over and over and over again. So that's why when people listen to me, you hear a lot of warning and not a whole lot of gee, how do you fix it? Because at the best, you adapt to it. Yes. When people say, what do I do? I say, well,
you adapt. That's a good way to say it.
You adapt. Well, my husband, I ignored him for the first 7 years of my marriage and wouldn't have sex with him, and now I want to have sex and he won't have sex. What can I do now? Now you adapt.
Mm-hmm. You don't undo.
Well, he doesn't approach me anymore sexually. Well, then you approach him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to do that.
I want it the way it used to be. Well, no, you can't get it now.
No.
And people don't like that. What they want to do is listen to someone. Yeah. Come pray for me. I'll lay hands on you or buy my book and I'll show you how you can get back to it, you know.
Because that feeds their selfishness.
Because they
just want to be selfish. They want to do what they want to do.
And again, because we are people who are driven by the concept that it will be as if it never happened. Now, that is true in our standing before God. But look at David. Do you think God forgave David when he committed adultery?
Sure.
Of course he did. What happened? As the consequences were devastating for him.
I don't think
his family.
That people read that whole story and get that whole thing.
Oh, they don't see the fan. That his life really sucked toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
His kingdom was it was a disaster.
His children, all of that.
All because from that one sin that God forgave. But there are consequences. His children did all kinds of crazy things. It's poison. You let that poison into your life. So it's not that we don't believe in forgiveness. We do. And it's not that we don't believe we can share with you how to adapt. Mm-hmm. We can. What you will not hear from me is how you can make it as if it never happened. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Despite the testimonies, I still don't believe it. You know, someone says, it's just as okay. If that's what you believe in, maybe. Okay, fine.
But it's still a rare exception.
At a minimum, you're the exception.
Yeah.
I still don't believe you. But at a minimum, let's say it's true. Then it's the exception. There is no... It's as if it never happened when it comes to marriage and family. That's why we need to be careful with what we do. Mm-hmm. God will forgive you. It's not like there's no hope. It's not like you go out and commit suicide and kill yourself. Diane's been married 87 times. She still has a life, you know.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same.
I mean, God's done a lot of great things in my life. I get to work with you. I get to do this, but I'll tell you.
That's worth it all right there.
The other part of my life, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's hard. So what do? You adapt.
Mm-hmm.
You suffer. You pray. You ask God to intervene, and God will do things. But I'm just telling you, I do not believe in this. Gee, Mark, can you just tell us how to make it as if it never happened? No.
Nope.
If I could, I wouldn't. But first of all, I can't. But even if I could, I wouldn't do it. It's not the message we need to hear.
No.
We need to hear, don't go down this rat hole. It hurts. There's consequences. Even that guy who I read the book, who died and was resurrected. It's a great book.
John Piper, is that his name?
I don't know. I don't know his name. 90
Minutes in Heaven
is a great book. Okay. I don't know what the guy's name was. But it's a great story and stuff. But if you read it, unless something's happened to this day, the way the book is, he's in excruciating pain.
I did read it.
He was in
God saved him, but I thought,
isn't that amazing? So much so that he says, I really wish I hadn't come back.
Yeah. Because what he's living with as the ramifications.
His body was just crushed in this car accident. Isn't it amazing? God would bring him back to life. Yeah. But yet
not
still,
make it like
he
it was before.
Has the consequences. It's not like it was before. And so painful to him that there's a big part of him that wishes he'd never been raised back to life again because of the pain that he's in. Now, the good news is eventually he'll get out of that body and he will go to heaven. But this part, we just don't tell people. We're not telling them the whole truth. And that's why you don't hear from me. Gee, I'll tell you what, just do this, Bob, and Susie, if you just, it'll be like it never happened. That's why you hear more from me. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I hope that explains that. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Butt Kicking Woman's Conference is back with a newly released DVD set from the second year of the conference with all new hard-hitting speakers, Lakeeta Garth, Diane Brierley, comedian Carrie Pomeroy, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Gunger himself.
Morality is based on the condition of your heart, not based on the status of your vagina. I don't care if you've had sex with 150,000 men. Stop it! Stop it! What are you doing?
You get over 7 hours of content that will change your life and make you a stronger butt-kicking woman. Order your DVD today at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby.
Would you like to have a voice like that?
I don't know about that.
That guy in American Idol is pretty close.
There are times that we love.
I sound more like Mickey Mouse. Hello, children. Hello, boys and girls. You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show.
It doesn't seem to me like it's enough.
Talk to us, baby.
It's just not enough, baby.
Come on, man. Just like it is.
It's just not enough.
Come on, sing it. Oh, yeah. You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails.
Okay. Do you have your continuing saga music?
Oh, no.
Ready?
Is it a continuing
it's
saga?
It's a continuing saga.
Where is my continuing saga? Here it is.
I
it's a continuing
you.
Saga.
Okay, the last time we heard from this mom, and now the follow-up email seriously falls into the oh boy category for me. She said, "Dear Mark, the outspoken, thanks for all you do and say."
Mark, the outspoken. Mm-hmm.
Diane, the darling, thanks for keeping things moving.
Diane, the darling.
Ross,
the nerd.
The rakish, thanks for shaking rakish. Things up now. And then R-A-K-I-S-H, rakish.
What does that mean?
Thanks for shaking things up now and then.
Look it up, Ross. We don't even know.
Tim, the techie, thanks for twisting knobs so we hear the show. She says, this is a continuing saga, so cue your music.
All right, we're cued. We're running.
See if you
remember
this.
It is a continuing saga. Da-da, da-da, da-da,
da-da, da-da. She wrote in October wanting to know how she should react to her daughter's wedding. She was marrying a boy that is an addict who promised to go to rehab after the wedding. She wondered if she should go to the wedding and if she should bring a gift and all that. That was the couple that wanted just the re-gifting things. Do you recall all of that?
Yeah.
She said, I don't know if you remember, but you told me to be nice and go, and I did, and I re-gifted. The ceremony was beautiful, but the happy couple did not acquire a marriage license.
Oh, my God.
Excuses were made, i.e. the office was closed, he lost his ID, we could not find the right office.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me?
She says there was a preacher, candles, vows, witnesses, guests, and the cake.
But none of it legal.
But are they married? Now, by the by, the boy did drugs yesterday, which was just recently in the last few days, and has declared that all the rehab plans that he had looked into will not work for him. My daughter has kicked him out of the house, and I told her not to allow him in until after he completes patient rehab. So, are they married? Now what do they do? That's what I said. Oh boy.
Dun, 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 dun! I have no idea. I don't know. What's the laws in their state? Do they have a marriage license now?
They didn't have one. It wasn't signed, so.
So well, why wouldn't you just go get one?
Apparently, they never did.
But why wouldn't you just go get one after you go, oh, crap, we don't have one, and just go get one?
You mean I'm thinking that was part of the plan.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me they still haven't gotten the license?
Apparently not.
Well, why not?
I'm telling you, I think it's part of the plan, the son and the daughter's plan. I think that, come on, you didn't have time, you lost your ID, you couldn't find the office the day of the wedding came, and you didn't make sure you had a wedding license? How can you be so dumb? I think it was intentional on their part. Just guessing.
Oh, I don't know. Are they married now? I don't know. I'm not a good call an attorney.
Legally, they're not married, but in the eyes of
well, I don't
God,
know.
They
even
went through the
legally,
ceremony. You've mentioned this before in other shows.
I don't know. Talk to their stay. Talk to a family.
Obviously, they're not married legally.
Yeah, I don't
well, the state
know.
Doesn't recognize
of all
it there's no
dumb
documents.
Things to do, just go out and get the license. That's all you got to do, right? And you just put down when the thing happened and who was there, and you sign the papers. Why would they not have done this already? Oh, people are just crazy. Good Lord!
One hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com.
At Marriage Magazine, we celebrate marriage. The magazine is full of quickie how-tos, enticing tidbits, secrets from real-life people, tools on how to deal with difficult issues, as well as fun tips to bring back or increase that love and feeling. Just think of the magazine as continuing education for that most important relationship in your life and your kids' lives. Subscribe at marriagemagazine.org, that's marriagemagazine.org, or call 1-800-MARRIAGE, 1-800-MARRIAGE. You'll be glad you did.
Listen, hold on, I turn.
This is the Mark Unger Show, where we're talking about this thing called love. Ross, find out what rakish means.
Mm-hmm. Yes, rakish is dashing, jaunty, or kind of as an adjective, a hat set at a rakish angle or marked by up-to-dateness in dress manners, a dapper young man. And
you
so,
are
yeah.
rakish. That's the perfect word for you.
Marked by a carefree, unconventionally, or reputableness.
Oh, you're disreputable?
I have no idea. So
he's rakish. So you're basically hip.
I'm a hip.
A fancy word for hip.
Sporty, flashy, breezy, dapper.
You're breezy.
Dashing.
I know sometimes after lunch, especially, you're pretty breezy.
Whoa, it's a little breezy again in here. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate that when that happens.
I have never done that around you. Ever. No. Ever, ever.
No, you leave the room.
I don't know you well enough.
You leave the room. Yes, you do.
Yeah, he
when you leave the room, that's when it becomes breezy in here.
Hey, I'm
you are restrained.
I am restrained.
Mm-hmm.
I am polite.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to be so restrained one day, he's just going to explode.
Yeah.
Right during a show, all of a sudden,
boom!
Yeah.
That's why I go out by Tim.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing in here, Tim?
And by the way, I really do appreciate that very much. I
wanted to share my presence with you.
It's much appreciated.
And in the previous email, you know, talk about unscrambling eggs. Ugh, that's a mess. That's just a mess. Married, but no marriage license.
Yeah. Well, and the whole thing that she didn't want him to get married. He's a drug addict. Now he's not going to rehab after being married 4 months. The girl kicked him out of the house. Wow.
You know, I got to tell you, my advice sometimes is so inconsistent. Because on the one hand, it just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand,
you just want to grab her and shake her and knock some sense into her.
Because I'm trying to tell people, you know, be nice and stuff. But I got if it were me, mm-hmm. and my daughter is marrying a drug addict, I probably wouldn't go. But I probably wouldn't have much of a connection with her anyway. I wouldn't even be talking to her.
Because it's very situational, depending on the state of your relationship and how you've raised your kids.
Yeah, some people are just so dysfunctional anyway. Yes. Maybe we got the sense that she already had this relationship with her and maintained it anyway, and just go be nice. And
So, is there a get out of jail free card for this young lady? Because there is no document that
I don't know.
Puts this
Man,
into
who,
a legal
who knows?
Marital union.
I don't know. I don't even like questions like this. It's just unscrambling eggs.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Mm-hmm. It's like, why do you get into these questions? You know, it's like, I'll just leave it up to somebody else.
A couple of weeks ago, you talked about common law marriage and that you don't have to have a license and it's legal. So you do sometimes talk about different things.
Just because you don't have the document
depends on
the church?
It depends on the state. Not every state has a common law. Some states do. Some don't. You can live with somebody for 20 years and have 80 kids
in front of the church and not get the document, and then they can bail on that at any point in time because they're never married.
Yeah, if you're an idiot pastor, they could do that.
I'm surprised that whoever married them would have gone through this.
That's my point. The pastor would have.
Yeah.
The pastor has to sign that document.
That why would they have?
As soon as they're done, I mean, what kind of a moron of a pastor do you guys have?
I don't know.
He had to see the first thing he'd do is, what? You did what? You don't have, oh, good Lord.
He would think that they'd check
tomorrow
on that.
Tomorrow morning, you guys, you're going to be, Monday morning, we are going down and we're going to go fix this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you do it.
Yeah.
Oh, what the pastor goes, oh, gee, I hope you fix that. I mean, what?
Well, you can get it so many days ahead of time, and I think that they normally check, and before they perform the ceremony, like when I got married, they made sure you had all of that in order, and I'm not sure if we didn't have a license, they would have done the ceremony. I'm not sure.
But even if you didn't have it, even if you didn't, and then you find out, you fix it.
Yeah.
What pastor goes, oh, you didn't have a license? Oh, well, that's too bad.
Maybe he's just leaving it up to them.
What kind of a moron does that? That's like a surgeon who does surgery, and then when they're done, they go, oh, where's that one tong?
And then they don't go and
I think I left it in him. Oh, that's too bad. Hopefully that comes out someday.
Yeah.
It reminds me
You fix it.
You follow through.
You fix it. So, dear, I don't know what kind of a pastor did this, but he's obviously a dope.
Mm-hmm.
Good
didn't
grief.
Didn't you do a wedding a while back? Well, you didn't do the wedding, but you were attending, and the pastor wasn't even able to sign the marriage license because he wasn't a
ordained
minister. So you had to step in and sign for it?
I don't remember.
Mm.
I don't remember.
Whoever
really?
Conducted the wedding wasn't able to sign
yeah,
it
you
legally.
Told me about this. Yeah, it was one of our.
Oh yeah, vaguely remember. Like, yeah.
What do you have to your wedding that?
It's not even.
Well,
signed.
I officiated part of it or something like that. He couldn't sign it, but I could, so I had to do it. But even still, if we're doing that, and all of a sudden they go, "Oh man, I forgot to get." Oh my God, yeah. You get it.
Right.
You would make sure to follow
you fix
through.
It. You fix it. Yes.
So are you saying that it's part of
well,
the preacher's
people,
responsibility?
It's one thing after another of unfixed nonsense. Yeah. You got to kind of wonder about the mom. Is she a complete fizzle brain head herself?
Fizzle brain head?
I mean, no one in this family has enough sense to fix stuff? Apparently, they can't even fix the fact that, oh, gee, they didn't actually get... So nobody in the family fixes this? The parents don't get involved? The pastor doesn't get involved? Nobody has... 8 cents worth of brains to fix something? And they email me?
I don't know.
Good Lord. Tear that email up. I don't want to hear any more from that one. Okay. Good grief.
She's not going to call you. Oh, yeah, she's called you Mark the Outspoken. She won't be telling you thanks for all you do and say anymore.
Apparently not.
She'll just say, that gunger, he's outspoken.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. She can't have enough sense to push this issue? Maybe she has no say in their life.
I don't know.
Well, then your pastor's
a
dork.
To tell.
Somebody
needs to step in.
Somebody needed to be an adult somewhere in the situation.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that after all the ceremony and everything that's happened, which happened months ago, no one has bothered to get a license yet. And it's still up in the air as to their status. Well, let's ask Mark Gunger. What?
Well, okay, let's
Who
say
Who cares
that,
what I say about it?
I wonder
it.
If the pastor even, you know, if they even attend the church, or is this just some guy that...
Freelancer who...
You know, they need the pastor to do it, so he's
some guy at the bar. Hey, come here and repeat these vows or something. Yeah.
I don't know. What if you took your baby home from the hospital without a birth certificate registration or whatever? What if it never came? Would you let 4, 5, 6 months... I'm sure they would step in and do something about it.
You fix it. Apparently, this is a very difficult concept to grasp.
I don't know.
You mean you fix it? You actually do something to fix it?
Crazy.
Because now he's what? In drug rehab or something? Or she, or
He was on drugs and said that after they got married, he'd go to rehab. Now he's saying the rehab plans won't work out and that he's not going to go.
And
so she's kicked him out.
What dumb woman does this? I'll go to rehab after we get married. Why wouldn't you have him do rehab before you got married?
And delay the wedding until he's gone through
the rehab. Now, that's not on the mom. Obviously, the daughter's a complete psycho.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be married to somebody who needed
to go through
rehab.
Nobody is an adult enough. Are they married? My guess is, legally, they are not married.
You're not legally married without a marriage license.
Yeah, so...
That's why they make a big deal of it. I remember that the pastor making a big deal, you make sure you file this, because if you don't, he really emphasized that.
In Wisconsin, we get fined. The pastors get fined.
Oh, really?
If it does, we get in trouble.
Oh, that's why he made a big deal of it.
That's why I make a big deal out of it. Make sure, and that's why I give it to somebody else, because I know me, I'll forget it.
Yeah. Because he made a big deal of it.
And my staff or something, make sure you mail this. I will forget.
Yeah.
And then they'll be coming after me. It has to be done.
And make sure you get it back and then you know that it's filed and all of that. Yeah, he really made a big deal of it.
Goodness gracious.
Well, I think you have like 3 days in theory after you
Who married you guys?
It was a pastor from Oshkosh. Actually, he was a prison minister in Oshkosh.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, no wonder you should be in jail.
No, but he worked, do you remember, and I don't know, because they moved to Highway 10, but you remember the little white chapel in Medina when you used to go the back way from Appleton to Stevens Point, that little white chapel there? You've probably driven past it many times. But we got married there, and it was the guy who worked for that little chapel.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay.
Yep, that's who married us.
Why him?
Because he was the pastor for that little white chapel right there.
Did you go to that church?
It's not a church.
Would you go to an AG church or something? And they would marry you?
The pastor couldn't marry us.
Why?
Because
the AG regulation is that if you've been divorced.
Because you were remarried.
Yep. It's kind of like
Catholic. Oh, I knew they couldn't get married, but they wouldn't let you.
No.
They couldn't marry somebody.
No. And actually, that pastor did come over and played part of the ceremony. He was part of the ceremony, but he did not do the pronouncement because he felt like he could be part of the ceremony, but he couldn't do the pronouncement that was going started and run the whole thing, but he didn't want to sign the license or do the legal part of it. But he was a part of the ceremony, because we were going to AG church at the time, and he...
And with, age, was, with assemblies, when you've been married the 47th time, they mm-hmm. stop at that point. So.
Yeah, apparently so. Is my face really
so you,
red?
You could have went to like Vegas no, and just did, you know, like the Elvis Chapel, whatever.
You could have Elvis.
You could have
Elvis,
yeah. had Elvis marry me.
That'd be kind of cool.
That'd have been cool.
Yeah.
A fat Elvis.
A fat Elvis could have married me. I'll do that for number 48. How's
for
that?
Number 48.
For 48.
Get a fat Elvis to pronounce the ceremony.
I'll go and have fat Elvis marry me.
That's when, what's his name there?
Who's that?
Your little football
oh,
guy.
Oh, Clay.
Clay. When Clay Matthews asked you to marry him.
Oh, yeah. Like that'll happen. When Clay Matthews asked me for the 48th time, he'll be my 48th husband.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay. We've had this question before. Apparently, they don't hear the answer, so we'll ask it again. First of all, he says, I want to congratulate you for the great job you're doing. I trust your advice. That's why I want to ask you something. I'd like to know, what do you have to say about contraceptive pills? I want to get married next year and had a lot of discussion with my girlfriend about this because we don't plan to have kids in the first 2 to 3 years of our marriage. We don't know which method is all right with God, and we don't want to put the integrity of our future marriage in danger by using methods that are not okay with his standards.
You know, the Bible just doesn't say anything about it. Churches come up with their own standards, like the Catholic Church is against mm-hmm. it. Other churches might be, most Protestant churches just have no opinion.
Right.
You know, I just think we should be encouraging people to have bigger families mm-hmm. and stuff. The only thing you'll hear from me is I think condoms are a bad idea. I think condoms interfere with intimacy, interfere with mm-hmm. you connecting with each other. And there's actually evidence that women who use condoms are more depressed than those who don't. Apparently, there's something in the semen mm-hmm. that actually helps regulate a woman's moods. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So, girls, we're just trying to help you.
That's right.
But then again,
that's all. We're just trying to help you.
Birth control can be very damaging for a woman's body, though.
Well, and the pill can be really hormonal.
That's what
I'm never
saying.
Could take it and
birth
be on it because it just wigged me out. And I'm pretty
and
wiggy
girl,
without it.
And the girl
it.
Should know this. You should be able to sense her own body. You know, if taking the pills making her weird and crazy. Mm-hmm. I will say this. A lot of people who take it for years and years and years and years and years and years, 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 years and then all of a sudden they stop and they want to have babies. All of a sudden they can't mm-hmm. have babies.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's it messes with you. So
yes, it does.
My advice, have babies. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to wait a year or two, then fine. You know, again, I would just say don't use condoms. There's other things you can use. And as long as she's tolerating it, okay.
Yeah.
And there's other things
but
you
I'm not
can
aware
do.
Of any biblical. I mean, the only thing you could say that's a biblical problem is not having children because the Bible says go, be fruitful, and multiply. I mean, the whole point of marriage
then
to
any
to
kind
a great,
of birth control
to great
would be.
Degree is having children, mm-hmm. procreating. At least Mrs. Brierley had wonderful children.
I have fabulous children.
But there
children.
Are things you can't, I
wish
mean,
I'd
not
had
to,
more.
Not to be perverted
five?
Or gross. You don't
Altogether,
have to.
Altogether, we have five.
Yeah.
He was asking me about how many children. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was answering his question. I wasn't interrupting you.
14.
She has beautiful 14. Babies. She makes beautiful babies.
You don't
babies.
Have to use birth control at all.
Count
you,
the
there
days.
Are things you can do.
Count the days, pull out.
Yes.
The withdrawal method.
Yes.
Now, there's some people who say the Bible speaks against that. Because
spilling your
Onan was commanded to impregnate his brother who was dead wife. That's what the Old Testament said. If you had a wife, and her
husband
if you're died. Married to a guy and he dies without
the
giving
brother.
You a child,
mm-hmm.
then the brother that would be like
better up?
Your yes. brother-in-law
would have mm-hmm. to step up to the plate.
Yeah, yes, is obligated mm-hmm. not to have sex with you and give you a
yes.
child. Now, I don't know what they thought back in the... I don't know if there was just a big, not a big deal connection to it, you know, like...
It was just a matter of fact, an act. It was just an
it
act.
It was just an
it
act.
It was like artificial insemination, just to, going
to a,
impregnate.
To a degree. You know what? And I think, and if you stop and think about it, people who are raised on farms and stuff like that, you know, you see it all the time. If you're on a dairy farm, I mean, these guys who are farmers, sex is something that just happens all the mm-hmm. time, everywhere, and animals and all that. And maybe they just approach it in that kind of way where, anyway, for whatever reason, we don't live that way now, and it's certainly not part of the New Testament, but in the Old Testament law, that was the deal. So, Onan was, he would spill his seed, which, mm-hmm. see, to me, that says that's always been an acceptable form of birth control. Why would he even know to do that? That's what guys did back in those days. The reason why God killed him and brought judgment on him is because he refused to impregnate the girl. So, you know, so people say, well, no, you can't spill your seed because now that's the sin of onan or masturbating, the sin of, you know. No, I don't think so. I think
it was the disobedience.
Because that's what people did. I think that was always a primary form of birth control, even thousands of years ago. So anyway, there are people who say, because he did that, you should never do that. I don't think that was the case. The problem with him is that he was supposed to impregnate her and he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe he liked having sex with her. Did you ever think about that? Why?
Oh, there you go.
Because maybe in his case, ooh, I like getting laid with this chick. I'm going to pull out.
Yeah.
And then, oh, well, then we got to do it again. And then he kept doing this so he could keep getting laid by the guy. I mean, I never thought of that before. Maybe that's, you know, why was he doing that? Why? You know, I was on my. Was he just be that big of a jerk? I don't want my son, my brother to have a kid named after him. Could have been.
It could have been.
Maybe he was just enjoying having sex with the girl.
Could have been.
We can keep this going because if it's a one time deal, she gets pregnant, it's over with. Who knows? But that was the problem. So now, having said that, it's not exactly the most. Some people are very good at. Some guys are very good at. It.
Right.
A lot of guys are not.
It takes supreme control.
They can't. They can't pull it off.
Or in just being awareness, you can't get so caught up in the moment and just.
I know, but most guys.
Which is kind of a drag.
I think.
But if you're looking for healthy and you want to make sure, I mean, I think that's the best way to go.
Well, no, stay not away necessarily.
From condoms,
not
stay away from birth control
because what you are missing is the girl's missing the hit.
Yeah.
You know, which is quite pleasurable from what I hear, and. They are then like the people with condoms. They don't get that mood altering benefit of the semen in her body. So
counting the days is really pretty effective. If you stay away from the days that you know you're ovulating, you do it all the time to try to get pregnant. You intentionally have sex in this window.
There's all kinds
of ways.
It's
pretty effective.
So, but anyway, biblically, is there one better than the other? Not that I can tell.
No.
If I was Catholic. Their only their only permission, I think, is
the natural family
counting.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're probably against the withdrawal method as well because of the onan story.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what that was about. Yeah. But the bottom line is, you should have children. Mm-hmm. Have them. They're wonderful. Oh my gosh, they're so much fun. I love those babies.
Mm-hmm. I really wish I'd have had more kids.
I wish we'd had more, but I didn't have to have them. I don't think my wife could. I mean, physically, it was really hard on her. Not everybody can have them.
Mm-hmm.
And some people try and they can't, and that's fine, you know. But if you can, man, just have them. Have fun. Mm-hmm. Ross makes great babies.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I wish I could make like 10 more.
They're gorgeous. Are they not gorgeous?
Yes, you have amazing children.
Both of them have a laugh to kill for.
Mm-hmm.
We'll post a little video for you all to see.
But Kean was like that too. His laugh is just infectious.
It just makes you laugh.
And Maya sounds exactly the same way. Here she's this little peanut of a kid.
A little raspy
giggly. Just laughing a great time. Oh my goodness. And they're both dropped in.
Of course, they're your grandchildren. They would have a good laugh.
Yeah. But I mean, of course, I'm biased too, but I just thought they're gorgeous.
They are fabulous.
Some people just make beautiful babies.
Mm-hmm.
All my boys. All my boys are handsome boys. Have lots of them. Anyway, praise God. All right, let's take our final break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage. Are you looking for the next romantic getaway or planning the next family vacation? Whether it is around the world or around the corner, Grace Point Travel can help you with all your travel needs. Take advantage of their extensive training and experience as you look to plan your next adventure. You can call George and Judy Oakes at 206-203-3927 or email them at gracepointtravel@usfamily.net. If you prefer to book your own getaway yourself, you can try their easy-to-use self-service website with a complete range of options, including cruises, hotels, even tickets to concerts and sporting events. Don't delay in planning your next trip. Travel to www.gracepointtravel.com and make your plans today. That's www.gracepointtravel.com.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Day after day, I'm more confused.
Sounds like me.
I look for the light through the pouring rain.
That's what we deal with.
You know that's this is the Mark Gunger Show. Talking about the benefits of semen.
Well, let's go.
You found something on the line.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it's, you know, odd to think that I never really thought about it, that semen really has as many components to help really alter a woman's mood, but apparently says the rest of the seminal fluid, mostly water, plus about 50 compounds, sugar, which nourishes the little swimmers to be able to do what they need to do.
Those swimmers need sugar.
Olympic golds to swim that distance. Mm-hmm. Immunosuppressants to keep the woman's immune system from destroying the sperm. Why is it that women are all about destroying men? And oddly, two female sex hormones and many mood-elevating compounds, endorphins, estrone, prolactin, and even what oxytocin, we've heard about that, but then again, serotonin, which really is serotonin. When your serotonin levels are high, your depression is low. So pretty interesting.
Yeah. So that's why I would recommend something other than just the withdrawal method. Although it's not – I do know there are some women – It seems to make no difference to them at all, whether they get it or they don't. And apparently for other women, it does make a big difference. Mm-hmm. They've studied it, so.
The clay pigeon method.
Clay pigeon?
Withdrawal.
Why is it called
What do you
clay
say
pigeon?
When you're out?
Oh, pull.
Pull. Oh, pull. Oh, good Lord.
I've never heard that one. Never heard it.
Guys having sex, all of a sudden, pull. Oh, man.
Leave it to me to take it.
Oh, yeah.
To the gutter.
Of course. Of course you would. Okay.
Brackish.
This email starts out saying, my husband and I started listening to the show in November and are now daily listeners. My hubby even calls me a Gungorian.
Oh, we've corrupted him.
I wanted to say that we both feel Mark has changed our lives in such a positive way and are so grateful. We are continuing to grow in our Christianity and are hoping to attend the seminar in Woodbridge, Virginia. We also listen to Mark's sermons. Yep. They listen to your sermons. We thoroughly enjoy those as well. Diane and Ross, you guys are great too. The show wouldn't be the same without you, even though Mark is the star. Keep up the good work. Everywhere I go, I share Mark with everyone.
Where are they going again? They're going to attend.
Woodbridge, Virginia.
Yeah, in about 2.5 weeks. Yeah.
The information he is sharing with the world is priceless.
Pastor Bill Baker.
Here's the question.
Thank you. Oh, they have a question.
My question pertains to homosexuals. Many young individuals are fooling themselves into believing this is a real way of life, and as a Christian, I know it's wrong. I know that Jesus dined with the wicked and cared for the most awful in nature. So my first question is, how should Christians treat homosexuals? I have a gay friend who I love dearly. He never compromises my faith in any way. There is also a mutual understanding about details, and he has always respected that as well. So my second question is it okay to be friends with them as long as they are never, as long as they never compromise my faith or talk down about my religion?
That's true of anybody. I mean, it's strange that you even ask that question.
Why would they compromise your faith, though?
Yeah.
I don't understand that part
unless,
of it.
Unless he's having sex with you.
Right? Or you're...
But then that wouldn't be homosexual, then there would it, hey?
Yeah, it would, if he's having sex with him.
It's a her.
Sorry, I thought it was a guy. Yeah. Well, then, actually,
I have friends.
Is it considered?
Who are?
I don't feel gay. Listen to me.
I do too.
I think the church they really approached us wrong.
Absolutely.
And the homosexual community has to know something. Our problem is anything outside of marriage is just not right. Okay. We feel the same way towards homosexuals. Really, the same way we think to a boyfriend screwing his girlfriend.
Right.
But the church does not project that.
But the church is wrong in that. Yes. See, that's why they have buttonholed homosexuals and made it into something that, you know, it's mean what they do. Yes.
It's terrible.
Oh, that
we have a problem morally because anything, you know, you've got a guy cheating on his wife is in the same category morally.
But that's not the way it comes across.
Well, no, that's why these churches are wrong. Isn't homosexual any of these things? Anything other than now. Gays will say, "Well, what if we get married? Would that be okay?" Well, again, biblically speaking, no. Biblically speaking, it's an arrangement between a man and a woman. But just for the sake of argument, and everybody listen to me clearly. Don't send me a bunch of emails freaking out.
You're condoning.
No, just listen to me. If we were to okay gay marriage, okay, but in the context of you can never have sex with anybody until you marry them.
Right.
Would homosexuals buy into that at that point? My guess is they still would not.
Right.
Because the only way you can even figure out that you're gay or want to be gay is to experiment sexually.
But that's not what most heterosexual people do either. Because that's really what we say. You can't have sex. You shouldn't have sex.
See, that's my point. That's
people don't follow that either.
Well, let's see. The gays think we're buttonholing them. No. Yeah. We feel this way toward everybody. Yeah. No one should have sex at all.
Right.
Not even hand jobs and blow jobs and all the other
kind of jobs.
Whatever kind of job you can get, Steve Jobs, but you know, we got a job again.
Steve.
Hand jobs.
Whatever.
Blow jobs.
I said those already.
I know. But then there's the backside jobs.
All kinds of jobs.
Yep.
None of it. We believe in none of it.
No. Correct.
Until you get married. Then you can have sex. Okay. Now, a gay person, again, they could say, well, what if we did that? Well, for the sake of argument, let's say we would still okay that, which we wouldn't because at the end of the day, the Bible still says it should be a man and woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. But let's say we did. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to live by the same rules? In other words, you never...
Some people might.
I think it's virtually impossible. I think it's virtually impossible.
Well, I know some people who say that they were born gay and they've known it since they were born.
But not until they confirm it and they're having sex with guys and experimenting and then they find someone they really like. I'm just saying what the homosexual community needs to understand from our viewpoint is sexual experimentation at all is wrong.
That's right.
Okay? Even if we were to allow gays, a man and a man to get married, a woman to get married, if... They still wouldn't live by our rules.
To stay monogamous.
You can't, yeah. In other words,
exclusive.
You can never have sex with anybody until the day you marry that person, and then you have to be with that person for the rest of your life.
Yep.
What they don't see, what I'm saying is gays still wouldn't like, they still wouldn't like our rules.
Well, and you know? Like I said before, heterosexuals don't live up to that standard either.
I know it. We have the same problems with them. I don't, so this lady writing, can I have gay friends? Of course you can have gay friends.
We all have gay friends.
Will it compromise my, if you have sex with them, if you're having sex with another woman, that's a problem.
Well, I think she wonders if that's condoning it and if that's compromising her faith.
No, but you should feel that way toward anybody who's an adulterer or cheater. We need to love people and hopefully love them into the kingdom. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.